planning trip on the flow, man.
Some neighbors were saying way too loud.
That's only in the morning. You supposed to be up cooking breakfast or somebody. That's like an alarm clock. Woo! Woo!
Welcome in, everybody, to a brand new episode of the world-famous Loose Lugnuts podcast. I'm Evan Roberts, joined alongside, as always, Thomas Dick. We were at Talladega, pretty exciting races that went going on, and we'll preview the Monster Mile. We're heading to Dover this week. Before we get into recapping Talladega, we got some news to talk about. But first, we hit on this last week, and NASCAR on Fox is terrible.
It is the worst. It is, yeah, we'll briefly sprinkle it in the rundown of the Talladega race, but just commercials on top of commercials and like directors not knowing what to shoot. And like I noticed this race more than any other, it seemed like Bowyer and Harvick were having a conversation the whole race, and Mike Joy was just saying shit that had nothing to do with what they're saying. Entire race.
Like, you know, I like Mike Joy brings a lot of knowledge and stuff to the broadcast, but it's just like, I don't know if he's past his prime or.
And he kept trying to do zingers and funny stuff, and Harvick would just ignore him. and then Bowyer would come back to a point that was made like 10, 15 seconds ago. He'd be like, that's a great point. And you'd be like, what the hell is he talking about? And then you would rewind it 20 seconds and oh, that's what he's talking about.
So I mean, it was very interesting, and I just can't wait for NASCAR on NBC to take over. But
I cannot wait for the Discovery Channel or somebody to take over the next time that it's up for bid. If we
need the speed channel, maybe Amazon Prime will be good.
Yeah, who knows? That means I have to get it though, right?
Yeah, you don't have Prime?
I don't, all I got's YouTube TV.
Huh, look at you.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's get into the news. NASCAR released their Hall of Fame ballot. The modern era ballot has 10 names, and two will get elected. We got Greg Biffle, who is the 2000 NASCAR Truck Series champ, 2002 Xfinity Series champ. He finished second in the Cup Series in 2005, and that would be his only claim to title in all.
He would be the only one to claim the title.
19 Cup wins, 20 Xfinity wins, 17 truck wins. That's 56 total. Second most for an eligible driver not in the Hall of Fame. We have Neil Bonnett, 18-time NASCAR Cup Series winner, including back-to-back Coca-Cola 600.
He was my favorite driver as a youth. Neil Bonnett, not Bonnett.
Well, you know what I meant.
Yeah, he was also in the movies, two movies, the two biggest NASCAR movies ever, besides Talladega Nights. He couldn't be in that one because I believe he was dead at that point. But he was in Stroker Ace and Days of Thunder. Then we got Tim Brewer. He's a two-time NASCAR Series championship-winning crew chief. We got Jeff Burton. Everyone knows who he is. 21-time winner on the NASCAR Cup Series, including a Southern 500 and two Coca-Cola 500s. And then Randy Dorton, he built engines that won 9 titles across NASCAR's National Series.
We have Carl Edwards. He won 28 Cup Series races and was the 2007 Xfinity Series champion. So he's got 28 Cup wins, 38 Xfinity wins, 6 truck wins, ranks 14th in wins among the top 3 series, and the most wins for an eligible driver not in the Hall of Fame. Then we have Harry Gant, the 18-time winner in the Cup Series races, including 2 Southern 500 victories.
Yeah, he was in Cannonball Run 2. He was also in Days of Thunder. He's also in Stroke Race. It's a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, what's just more than just being a racer.
Yeah, just more. And then Harry Hyde, 1970 NASCAR Cup Series champion crew chief. And he was the guy that Robert Duvall's character was based off of in Days of Thunder. Ricky Rudd, 23-time winner in the Cup Series, including the 1997 Brickyard 400. He also had wins in 16 consecutive straight seasons, which ranks 4th all time. And he was also when I lived in New Jersey, one of my roommates, Keith Olenek, it was his favorite driver. So Ole the Goalie, big Ricky Rudd fan. And then Jack Sprague, 3-time NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series champion. Who are you voting for if you got two votes?
I'm going to go Carl Edwards. Think he deserves a shot. And then I'm going to go Jeff Burton.
Ooh, wow. You're going more recency bias.
Yeah. When you think of Ricky Rudd, what do you think of?
I think I'm supposed to think of a fight he was in.
I was just thinking of the Tide car.
Oh, well. Okay, I thought maybe he was in a fight that I should have.
Well, he could have been.
I just remember he was only the goalie's car. I am going to vote for, I don't get a vote. They gave my vote to either Jeff Gluck or Bob Pockrass. I don't know why. Harry Gant, because once again, he was in Days of Thunder and Stroker Ace and Cannonball Run 2. And it's the Hall of Fame. And the school bandit is like one of the iconic cars. And you can't have an iconic car without an iconic driver. And then Carl Edwards, although I don't think Carl Edwards is going to get in just yet. I think some people are still pissed at the way he left the series. Just, I'm done racing.
Yeah.
So.
There's always politics with the Hall of Fame. So.
Yeah.
In the Pioneer ballot, only one will get in. We got Ray Hendrick. He won over 700 times in NASCAR Modified and Late Model Sportsman. Banjo Matthews, he built cars that won more than 250 Cup Series races and three championships. Ralph Moody, the two-time Cup Series owner champion. Larry Phillips, who's the first five-time NASCAR Weekly Series national champion. And then Bob Welborn, a three-time convertible division champion.
I'm not knowledgeable enough in this one, but you got to vote for a guy named Banjo.
Yeah, I like that one. I also think, I don't care what series you're in, 700 wins is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
Ray Hendrick. And the Landmark Award, one will get in. It's Alvin Hawkins. He's NASCAR's first flag man. He established NASCAR racing at Bowman Gray Stadium. We have Lisa France Kennedy, NASCAR Executive Vice Chair. Dr. Joseph Mattioli, founder of Pocono Raceway. Dr. Dean Sicking, inventor of the Safer Barrier. And Les Richter, longtime NASCAR executive, said to have helped grow the sport on the West Coast. Kind of think it's going to be Dr. Sicking, don't you?
Yeah, especially after what our next topic is.
Yeah. So that's what your vote would be, Dr. Sicking?
Yeah.
So let's get into it. I thought this was interesting. Eric Jones will miss Dover. He hit the wall pretty hard that we'll get into last Sunday. He has a compression fracture in his lower vertebra. He'll be replaced in the car by Corey Heim, and the paint scheme's pretty sweet. We'll probably hear about that later. It was interesting because they let him out of the care center. He did his TV interview, but if I don't know if you watch the in-car camera.
Oh, yeah.
The audio, camera. He like gets hit, and then he's just like, not good.
Yeah, it sounded serious. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, he's talking, and it looks like he's going to leave. He must be okay. And then they dropped this a couple days later. So I hope it's not more serious than they're letting on.
Yeah.
If it is, I hope this isn't another driver that the next gen car ruined their career. Because we see Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch appears to be having fun on the outside. I don't know if you've seen all the stuff he's been doing.
Yeah.
Like running the Zamboni at the Seattle Kraken game and stuff like that. He appears to be having fun, but you know he wants to be in a car driving.
Yeah. It kind of seems like one of those situations where it was like, you know, Kurt Busch had the concussions and is he going to be all right and all that stuff. So hopefully Eric Jones is okay and can come back to racing.
Yeah. Sadly, this likely, even if he is okay, like if he misses anything more than Dover, his chances of getting in the chase without a victory is pretty much over because he was pretty far on the outside as it was. So missing two races would further diminish that.
Junior Motorsports Fan Day schedule announced. It'll be Thursday, May 23rd. At the JRM Race Shop. We'll see you there.
Yeah, I'm headed there.
All right. The wristbands are distributed at 8:30 a.m. Fan Day begins at 9 a.m., including three autograph sessions and live podcast tapings.
Yeah, so you can, if you wanted to be there. You can watch them tape door bumper clear, Dale Jr. download, and then their one other one.
Yeah.
And then three separate, they got some iRacers if you're into iRacing. And some of the drivers of the 88 cars will be in the first segment. The second one's going to be like their Xfinity drivers. And then the Earnhardt family in the later session. So plan accordingly. Next one, Joey Gase lost his appeal from Richmond. If you don't remember Richmond, that's when he threw his bumper cover at Dawson Cram. He lost that appeal, so he gets a fine, $5,000. It's another event, though, where NASCAR will use it for social media purposes for the next 50 years, even though they screwed this guy over. Like, I don't mind. If you want to find the guy $5,000, awesome. But you delete it, you make NASCAR Fox delete it, you make NASCAR NBC delete it, and we never see it again.
Because we still see the melon move or whatever they call it.
Oh, yeah, we see all that stuff. Like, no, I don't want to. If it's illegal, I don't want to see it again.
A hot topic, more stages for super speedways.
I thought you were going to say hot topic. We at the mall.
Daytona was a heavily fuel saving race. Talladega, a little less so, but we still saw some 55 second laps and they were only going about 170. Ideas to have shorter stages, 45, 45, 45, 53.
I just threw that on there. They're talking about having four stages. I assume that's how they would break up an 188 lap race.
I saw some people on Twitter talking. I like the idea of just like you have to hold a minimum speed like within the draft. Like if you're slower than like especially if you're in the draft and like in the lead, if you have a lap that's like less than 53 seconds, you should or more than 53 seconds, you need to serve some sort of penalty. But I understand where the race teams are coming from, but you're entertainment and you need to have your fans be entertained. And when you're just kind of ho-humming around and not really doing anything for 20 laps, it's not a good product.
Yeah, and if we're going to change it, why not change it to just keep the three stages and have it be 40, 40, 108? That way they're just going balls to the wall in the first one. They're going balls to the wall in the second one. And then the last one, I don't know, let it sort out. Because we saw that, well, we'll get to it. And I don't want to ruin the race. But, like, there were people that went on the other strategy. They just happened to run.
Yeah.
And the strategy looked like it was going to work. And the thing that irritated me is after the race, everyone's like, would you rather see single file at 195 or three wide at 175? It's like, they both sort of suck.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah. Another hot topic. It's another scoring pylon removed. This one at Talladega. They said it was old and said you should look at the app or the big screen. And we saw a couple people chime in, or a lot of people chime in on this. Denny Hamlin was one of them, basically said that telling fans to look at their phones instead of the race was pretty stupid.
Yeah, and not to mention the Wi-Fi sucks at most sporting events. And I, like, if you're going, like, the times we've gone to Texas Motor Speedway, especially during rain delays, like, your phone drains fast.
Yeah.
Like, I try to have my phone off as much as possible so it lasts the whole race. So if I'm having to open it up every time I want to check and see where the thing is, like I'm looking down, fumbling, and the cars are going by, then they're like, okay. So they're like, the light bulbs were getting old, and we bought all the light bulbs that we had, and now we're running out of those light bulbs. So it's like, well, after you knew you were running low on light bulbs, why didn't you think of another option for a scoring pylon? Like, I don't know if you know curling. Yeah. They're running out of the granite to make the curling rocks. Yeah. Well, they're not going to use up all the granite and go, oh, well, shit, we can't curl anymore. They, yeah, like, look for other options for potentially using for curling rocks.
But it's also funny because, like, it's not like you guys didn't know that you need to replace this. It's just like, oh, like, you have enough time to go replace it.
Yeah, and it seems like of all the things you have to replace, it seems the cheapest. Like, to me, mentally, like, the wiring is probably, to get to the scoring system is probably a little complex. But to me, all you need to do is drive around the 15 different high schools and steal their scoreboards, and you'll have light bulbs to use.
Or, like, you can invest and get an LED board, and it looks a little bit better.
Yeah. So that's that. Hot topic.
All right, well, let's get into the Geico 500 at Talladega. Michael McDowell was on the pole as the only other driver to go over 102 miles per hour during qualifying was Austin Cindric. He was on the outside. Row two is Todd Gilliland and Kyle Busch. Larson had to go to the rear and then do a pass-through penalty. They messed with the roof rails, so it was cheating of sorts, but he did serve a penalty, and then we saw him go a lap down pretty quickly.
He got lucky last week with his penalty. Like, he basically got no penalty. And this week, he basically got no penalty. Because, like, once you, like, he goes to the rear, okay, it's a super speedway. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, we're qualifying. We'll get to that later. Qualifying doesn't matter. Super speedways, qualifying is the stupidest thing on earth. It's like fun to watch him go fast, I guess.
Yeah.
Faster than he do in the race. So he doesn't go a lap down when he does a pass through, because why do you have the same penalty at a 2.66 mile track as you have at a half mile track?
Yeah.
Like, a pass through penalty is totally different at those two tracks.
Yeah, if you do a pass through at Bristol, you're going two, maybe three laps.
So at a super speedway, you should have either a double pass through penalty or you stop in your thing for 20 seconds
yeah.
or 50 laps, 52 seconds. You stop in your fucking stall for 52 seconds.
So we see Larson, he finally gets lapped.
You are never on my side. You never get excited.
No, I agree with you.
Okay.
Keep the show moving. But we see Larson finally get lapped by lap 12. He's the only car lapped down, so he'd get the lucky dog. And as you just mentioned, not really a real penalty, or maybe they make him go down two laps. I don't know. But we see BJ McLeod, Daniel Hemric, Justin Haley, and Chase Briscoe. They're among the seven leaders in the first 20 laps. And this is where we get our first complaint about NASCAR on Fox. They are taking commercial breaks just left and right. I think it was four or five in the first stage.
I don't know. I lost track. And what I get confused at times too, because I'll have the side by side and it'll be the race, but then they'll have a NASCAR commercial with cars running. And you're like, which one's the race? I looked away for a second, and it gets me every single time. I love the Emu, but every time that commercial comes on, the whole screen goes yellow.
Yeah.
So I assume it's a caution. And then it's not. It's the Emu, and Doug.
And if I see that damn Ghostbusters commercial one more time, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah. Well, you know what I haven't seen in a while is they call me cat commercial.
We also see Martin Truex and Bubba Wallace are having radio interference, which is Talladega and Daytona, probably the two worst tracks to have that at. I really need to know where those other cars are at. And then we get the announcer jinx by your guy, Mike Joy. He's talking about BJ McLeod and how great of a day he's having. And then he just goes straight into the wall.
Yeah, he claims he has no fuel pressure, likely out of gas. Thank you, Mike Joy. Like, it was instantaneous. It was within seconds.
I was like, all right, this is pretty cool. Like, this is why I love Talladega. We get to see, like last year we saw Beard Motorsports always have good runs at the Super Speedways. And I was like, all right, BJ McLeod doesn't have the sponsor, but he's got the team out there. And just straight into the wall.
Yeah. And then lap 41, what the shit, man. Justin Haley and Chase Briscoe pit by themselves. Not ideal. I'm not going to have much of a draft. Like, they went at the same time, almost like they planned it, but then no one else went with them.
Yeah. And then the next lap, we see seven Chevys come in, and Zane Smith and Daniel Suarez get caught speeding. Next lap, lap 43, the Toyotas come in, and then Denny Hamlin spins out entering pit road. There was some rain the night before. You could see some water spots on the track.
There was water spots going in, and there was water spots coming out. So you spend all that time. Well, they said it was weepers. So I guess you couldn't possibly dry that out, even though you had all day to dry that out. Yeah. So
He's able to save it, but he changes his tires and then loses the draft. And then lap 44, we see the rest of the Fords and the Chevys come in.
Couldn't you squeegee that into the grass?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's not a tennis court.
Well, it just seems like a bad place to have water. A car's running 175.
Yeah.
Last group pits on lap 45. There's cars all over the place. Briscoe has to repit. Not ideal. He had a bit of a cording on his tires, and he didn't do a tire change the first time, so he came on back to get tires, and we got another commercial.
And then with four to go, Cindric is leading on the outside with Harrison Burton, and then Larson, a lap back, is out front of a three-car Hendrick pack on the inside. We're coming to the green checkered, and it's Cindric and Elliott side-by-side, although Clint Bowyer tells us it's Blaney and Elliott.
Yeah, well, it's funny because about 10, 15 laps later, they had somebody's in-car walkie-talkie device. He told his spotter to remember that Cindric has Blaney's paint scheme this week.
Wasn't it? I think it was Chase Elliott's, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. And they even talked about it. And then he went and screamed, "Oh, Dave Blair, Ryan Blaney." I almost said Dave Blaney. He's old. Ryan Blaney.
But it came down to the wire. Austin Cindric won the stage by inches, followed by Elliott, Byron, Blaney, and Bush in the top five, also getting stage points for Harrison Burton, Christopher Bell, Brad Keselowski, Tyler Reddick, and Alex Bowman.
Yep, we're going to do the not much happened during the in-between the thing. They probably had a couple commercials, I'm guessing. Lap 67 restart. We got Bush and Blaney out front. Austin Dillon, Shane Van Gisbergen, Anthony Alfredo, and Noah Gregson take swings at the lead as they're running about 50 to 70% throttle.
Lap 75, John Hunter Nemechek becomes the 15th leader of the race. And then we're seeing everybody's fuel saving, not really doing much. And then Cliff Daniel comes over and thinks people can make it to the stage break without pitting.
Yeah, he wants his, driver to pick up the speed. So 25 to go. We do have the pace picking up. 21 to go. There's five Fords out front and they're taking off. They picked up the pace by 3 seconds a lap. It's Buescher, Gill, and Priest, Logano, and Gregson.
To go back to SVG, did you see the in-car audio where the spotter's telling him that there's a car a couple feet away from him or whatever, and he's just like, I don't know what a foot is.
Well, isn't that something you probably would have talked about in the pre-race?
Yeah. Oh, but I thought that was funny. 19 to go on the stage. We see a lot of Ford's pit. 17 to go. Corey LaJoie spins out exiting pit road because of the puddle. No yellow for him. 10 to go. The first 11 haven't pitted. They're led by Denny Hamlin and Christopher Bell. We see the Toyotas pit with 9 to go. Four Fords are still on the track, but they end up pitting next lap and speeding penalties for Christopher Bell and Ryan Blaney. They end up cycling through with Logano and Cindric out front, and they make Buescher thread the needle and clog up the train, and then they go to 6 to go in the stage, which was wild. But while Buescher makes this thread through the needle, you have Kevin Harvick explaining something that you think the listeners would want to listen to, and then Mike Joy just screams right over him. He's like, oh, Buescher! And it's just like, yeah, dude, we all saw
it. Yeah, it was a cool move.
Yeah, it was a very good move by Buescher, but it was just funny how Harvick's in the middle of explaining something, and then Mike Joy just screams.
Yeah,
over.
And they're like, it's like, oh, holy cow, the race is picking up. Let's go to commercial. 6 to go.
Then they come back with 3 to go, and then 2 to go. Logano and Cindric are out front below. Larson and Reddick are up top. Cindric gives Logano a huge push to win the stage, followed by Cindric, Larson, Dillon, and Chastain in the top five. Reddick, Buescher, Elliott, Priest, and Gibbs all get the stage.
Yeah, this is part of the fuel saving, and it's absolutely just, I don't know, something NASCAR probably needs to fix. So, really long track, 2.66-mile track. They open pit road. People on the lead lap can pit. And then the next lap, everyone lap down or more can pit. And then they usually come back around for the choose. And then they come around and they start. Well, the first lap, the first 9 cars on the lead lap pit. And then the second lap, all the ones the lap back pit. And then all the cars 10th and back on the lead lap on the next lap in order to save 5 miles of gas pit.
Yeah.
So basically what we get is the first 5 rows will start double file. And then everything that was single file all the way back for the next 30-something car or 20-something cars. So we get the restart lap 127. It's Chastain and then a bunch of Fords. Bauer throws it to the boringest super speedway spotter ever. I forgot who the spotter was. It might have been Chastain's spotter. He said something like every 4 or 5 seconds. Like when they first went to him, I was like, is the radio not working? And then he said something. And then he was quiet for a little bit. And it, like most super speedways, it's like two outside, two up low, one inside, two outside, like constant talking. You're like, oh, this is cool. But they went to Chastain's guy and he's like,
just ho hum.
Yeah. 133, we got Aquaman and a couple of scrubs dancing around like fools during a commercial. And there's an accident.
We missed it.
They'll come back. They'll tell us about it a little bit later.
Yeah, it's a little checkup accordion wrecked that ends up whacking Christopher Bell and Justin Haley. And then Clint Bowyer completely ignores Mike Joy trying to be funny.
Yeah, something about a Sunday newspaper in Anniston. It got crickets. I'm still confused by this.
What are you confused about?
At one point, they said the first 7 cars didn't pit. But then later on, they said they might have pitted, like I mentioned earlier, where they waited the 2 laps to pit. But then they were out front.
Yeah.
So if they pitted the two laps later, they couldn't be out front. So I never got a straight answer on that one.
We'll have to ask our friends at Fox. We restart with 49 to go. The overstock cars of Noah Gregson and Josh Berry are out front. And then Boyer ignores Mike Joy again.
Yeah, some sort of overstock. They must have been overstocked on car decals.
Daniel Hemric, Michael McDowell, and Ross Chastain join the party with 47 to go. Nine laps later, Keselowski's team decides to run full throttle, so others will have to chase and use up gas. 36 to go, we see the Toyotas pit together. They're not really organized coming out. They're stretched out a little bit, but two laps later, they're formed up. They're 35 seconds back, but they're hauling ass. And then you think they're hauling ass, but then all of a sudden, we see the Toyotas get into a wreck. Eric Jones, as we mentioned earlier, goes hard into the wall. Bubba Wallace is involved. Denny Hamlin's involved. John Hunter Nemechek, big damage, brings out the yellow. And it looks like it was John Hunter Nemechek with a bad push into Wallace who got into Eric Jones. We kind of mentioned it earlier. Jones complains that he's not good.
Yeah, it was a violent accident. You're like watching the race. I saw it during the race. Wallace starts going up the track. And I'm like, he's not going to try to keep pushing him, is he? Oh, he did.
Yeah, push him right into the wall at 190.
Yeah, I don't know what John Hunter Nemechek was doing, but I'm thinking Toyota Racing Development not too pleased having some really good cars knocked out of the race because of it. It's a stupid push too, because like they it wasn't necessary. They were going to catch those guys eventually because they were flying. But
yeah, it was a little interesting. Sucks for the Toyotas, especially Eric Jones. Bubba Wallace is running really good too, but during that caution, everyone else is pitted, so we should see no more pit stops the rest of the race. We do restart with 27 to go. It's McDowell and Reddick out front. We do see Truex give a big push to Tyler Reddick out front. Then the Fords answer underneath with Keselowski pushing McDowell. And then we mentioned it earlier, but Eric Jones is talking out of the care center, and then later we find out he was taken to a local hospital.
Yeah, I mean, he sounded like he was going to be back this week, like he was ready to get going. So maybe they got him doped up on something. 10 to go. Still two lines, Reddick leading on the outside, McDowell leading on the inside. This amazed me. The one spotter is like, so-and-so 7 rows back or 8 rows back. I was like, how did they do it that quick? Because I, like, when I'm like trying to watch a race and I want to see where someone's at, especially because I don't have a pylon, like I'll pause the thingy and I'll actually count the rows like with my finger. I'll be like 1, 2. And these guys are just blurting out. Cause when he mentioned this, like I actually stopped it to count to see if he was right. He's like, yeah, so-and-so third line forming up 7 rows back. I was like, was it 7 rows? I paused. 1, 2, 3. And the guy was right. Like that is a,
so you're telling me that you're not going to be a spotter anytime soon?
I will
soon?
Not be a spotter. No, I'll be Chastain spotter. I'll be like,
With four to go, we see SVG trying to start the third row up top. Three to go, Gibbs and Bush jump in front, and they absolutely ruin all the momentum for the line. With one to go, it's Reddick and McDowell battling back and forth. The outside line loses all its energy, and it's Michael McDowell chased by Keselowski. And as they come to the start, well, I guess it's like right at where the normal start finish line would be, like at Daytona. You start seeing McDowell blocking Keselowski high, and then Keselowski shoots low, and then McDowell tries to block down low, and there's one too many blocks for him. He gets clipped by Keselowski. Keselowski loses momentum, allowing Reddick to get by. And then Noah Gregson was also chasing, but he had to slow up to avoid plowing McDowell and Keselowski. You think if he Days of Thunders it, he might have won, but it's a huge wreck behind.
Put that hammer down.
Corey LaJoie finished sideways up against the wall, but we do see Tyler Reddick win the race.
Yeah, we see the LaJoie thing like 12 minutes after the race is over because we got to have two different post-race interviews of the winner. Yeah, it was, what'd you think of the ending?
I thought it was good. You always, like, we didn't have a big one until it was the very end, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
like it was very good, clean, exciting races coming down to the finish. And you know, at those track, if you're leading with 5 laps to go, you might not be leading there. Like, I thought it was pretty exciting. And I'm just glad we didn't get like the big one and a bunch of overtimes with it.
Yeah, if we would have had enough overtimes, maybe one of those.
But the best part and my biggest complaint with NASCAR on Fox is we get and we saw like Mike Joy screaming that Tyler Reddick wins the race, and then they're showing him like going into turn one doing his victory lap while all hell is breaking loose on the start finish line.
Yeah.
And who there was that one car that finished backwards.
All I saw is LaJoy finish sideways, like up against the wall.
Well, it was pretty cool. It was the first win with Jordan, Michael Jordan in attendance, and Tyler Reddick was running the Air Jordan paint scheme. Well, it was the first win of the season for Reddick and sixth of his career. Keselowski finished second, followed by Gregson, Stenhouse, and Bowman. Best finish for Noah Gregson in his career. His previous best was fifth place at the Summer Daytona race in 2022. Anthony Alfredo in sixth, his best career finish, topping a 10th place finish at the Fall Talladega race in 2022.
Beard Oil Motorsports.
Yeah. And then Byron in seventh, Gilliland eighth, and his best finish since last year's Bristol Dirt race. Daniel Hemric in ninth, and then Harrison Burton rounded out the top 10.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe if we would have got the yellow flag, Burton could have won if we had enough of them. Then we have an ice cream cake. Yeah, I felt bad for McDowell, but you never win when you're in front.
Yeah.
You got to give that lead up with three to go.
And then make your move. But I thought, he did a good job for the last five or so laps blocking or changing lanes and kind of stopping the momentum to keep that lead. But yeah, he just made one too many blocks at the end and really didn't have anybody pushing him behind. But I did think it was an exciting race. We did have 72 lead changes among the 23 drivers. So more than half the field led a lap. McDowell led the most with 36. Joey Logano led with 22. As we do look at the playoff picture, we're up to seven drivers in on wins. William Byron has three. Denny Hamlin has two. Larson, Elliott, Reddick, Bell, Suarez are in with one apiece. The nine in on points, if the season were to end now, would be Martin Truex, Ryan Blaney, Ty Gibbs, Ross Chastain, Alex Bowman, Bubba Wallace, Chase Briscoe, Brad Keselowski, and Joey Logano.
Yeah, Buescher is tied with Logano, but Logano currently owns the tiebreaker. Kyle Busch, 12 points back. The rest of the field is way back with Austin Cindric, the next 53 back. So you don't see Eric Jones, which is why I said this pretty much ends his chance of getting in the playoff unless he wins a race. Yeah, Buescher, this is about the time he started heating up last year. I think he needs to go on a heater.
Yeah.
RFK was running pretty good the last few races, so that's all I got there. Ag Pro 300 at Talladega. This one sort of janky on my YouTube TV recording. I got zero pre-race. It went straight from a bowling event to like the green flag. Like the green flag dropped. And then after the first stage was over, it went to a UFL game, like the DC whatever's against the San Antonio Brahmas or something. So I had to wait like a day and a half for it to record it again to watch it. Anyhow, we got Austin Hill. We know he's a really good driver at super speedways. He's going to be win the pole. He and Jesse Love were the only two drivers to go over 181 miles an hour. So they'll be out on row one. Parker Kligerman and Cole Custer on row two.
Hold on.
Did you just fart? So it's going to start three wide early. Austin Hill outside lane. RCR teammates Jesse Love behind. Outside lane is the favorite early on. Lap five. The two lower lanes are really sort of impotent, and half the field is in the top lane.
Yeah, then lap 10, we're down to two lanes, and the bottom lane has gotten more competitive. They're led by Chandler Smith. Gets a little sketchy, though, in lap 11 with Cole Custer and Austin Hill making some hazardous blocks and lane changes, but no big one. With seven to go, we're single file. It seems like drivers are content with not wrecking this early, which is pretty smart.
Yeah, and then two to go, a bottom line forms with Jesse Love jumping down to the bottom. Love with a big block on his teammate Austin Hill. Austin Hill couldn't be very happy with this one. And it's not good to piss off your teammate this early in a super speedway race.
Yeah, let me see. Justin Allgaier, he goes hard into the wall, wrecked from fifth place. He was loose, and then Riley Herbst got into his back end. He was one of the dash for cashers, so his day is done.
Yeah, so we're going to end under caution. That means Jesse Love wins the stage. Rest of the top 10, Parker Kligerman, Austin Hill, Chandler Smith, AGA Allmendinger in the top five. Ryan Truex, SVG, Brandon Jones, Riley Herbst, Cole Custer.
Stage two, we got RCR starting out front again, and then four Gibbs cars in the top seven. But we see it's three wide through lap 42 with Hill, Custer, and Sieg juggling the lead. And then lap 43 with eight to go on the stage, there's two solid lines. Chandler Smith and Ryan Truex appear at the front. With four to go on the stage, it's the outside lane that's looking strong with Austin Hill out front and just some riffraff and trying to form the two other lines.
Yeah, two to go, a bottom line. Farnsworth, Dinger, pulling. Brandon Jones and Parker Kligerman are behind. Love gives Austin Hill a big push to get out up front, and Dinger, he's able to throw a block going into turn four and hold on for the stage win. That's nine straight super speedway stage wins for RCR. Austin Hill wins the stage, followed by Jesse Love, AJ Allmendinger, Ryan Sieg, and Brandon Jones. Rest of the top 10, Chandler Smith, Parker Kligerman, Riley Herbst, Jeb Burton, and Cole Custer.
We restart the final stage on lap 56. Jesse Love's out front, and then Brandon Jones, Ryan Sieg, Sammy Smith in charge. And then lap 63, SVG takes his first super speedway lead.
Yeah, very impressive this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
With the metric conversion and whatnot, and the turn and left. Very competent. Guess what? We're going to wreck during a commercial break on lap 66, 48 to go. Jeremy Clements, Ryan Truex, Brandon Jones, Sam Mayer. Now two of the dash for cashers out. Incident started with Parker Kligerman and Ryan Sieg, both trying to go for the same spot without seeing each other. So they're both at fault, but neither's at fault. It clips Jones' tail end, and they put him into the wall. And then Dinger was in it because he ran into the weatherman, Kyle Weatherman. Three Junior Motorsports cars out of the race. Sam Mayer, Justin Allgaier, Brandon Jones.
We restart with 40 to go. We got Herbst and Love out front. It's four wide further back. And then a bumper cover flies off a car, which brings out the caution. Five laps later, they restart. It's Herbst and Austin Hill. Eight laps later, 27 to go, we see Parker Kligerman join the party. He's out front with Hill, Herbst, Sieg, and Alfredo. 24 to go, Ryan Sieg has to pit because he's got a flat tire. He was inside the top five, but he ends up falling a lap behind.
Yeah, so that's right now we got two dash for cashers left. Sieg and Dinger, they're both two laps down. Try to pay attention to that race.
Really dashing for the cash there.
Yeah, Fast Pasta slides into the lead with 22 to go with Chandler Smith and Taylor Gray emerging. 16 to go. Custer and Kligerman in front with the RCR cars and Patrick Emmerling right behind. 12 to go. It's just the high line. We just got Jesse Love, Parker Kligerman, and Austin Hill running up front.
Yeah, and then we start to see everything break up with three to go. The second line forms as Love and Hill go to the bottom. Klingerman's leading the top, but it kind of peters out. Austin Hill, though, gets the lead with two to go, three wide behind him. Hill's driving wide, and then Kligerman gets a bad push on Austin Hill, which spins him out, brings out the caution. So you know what that means.
We're going to have NASCAR overtime. Kligerman claims he didn't touch him, but replay shows he sort of touched him. But he was a little loose before that. Hard to tell. I don't recall hearing Austin Hill's post-race. Usually he's not afraid to bitch if something happens.
Yeah, and then we see the wreck tore up Emmerling and poor Jordan Anderson and Jeb Burton. So during that overtime, we have Parker Kligerman and Williams out front. And then Sammy Smith, one of the few who have fueled up on lap 76 and could afford multiple OTs, just railroad Sheldon Creed to bring out the yellow.
Yeah. Yeah, that one seemed a bit shady. SVG had run out of gas on the restart, so he ended up having to drop out of line. Anyhow, Kligerman's tore up. Luckily, Custer got by along with some others. That means we're going to go to NASCAR double overtime.
Oh, my gosh. We do see some drivers decide to pit for some fuel. And look at this top five. You have Love, Smith, Honeyman, Deegan, and Gase. The only car in the top 10 before the restart has an Xfinity win, and that's Riley Herbst.
Yeah, at this point, I am dreaming of a dash for cash next week that has Honeyman, Deegan, Gase, and name someone else.
The Weatherman.
The Weatherman.
Smith, who allegedly filled up on lap 76, runs out of gas. And then, as we mentioned, the dash for cashers, Allmendinger and Sieg, they're sitting pretty 20th and 21st.
That is going to be quite a fight for the 100,000.
Ryan Ellis, he gets a little sideways on the start, but no yellow flag for him. We see Jesse Love out front. Ryan Ellis gets it going, so no yellow. They end up taking the white flag. And Joey Gase gives Honeyman a huge push. to get to Love's back. And then Herbst is coming, but decides not to give fellow monster sponsor Haley Deegan a push. And he goes by her. Backstretch, Love is blocking Honeyman while Poole gets a huge run thanks to an Alfredo push. And then Love takes air off Poole and then blocks Gates.
Yeah, we got Herbst making a run up the middle, but it's too little too late for him. Love's going to win.
Love always wins.
Love always wins. So we're going to have a top five that's Jesse Love, Riley Herbst, Anthony Alfredo, Leland Honeyman, Brennan Poole.
First career win for Jesse Love matches a career best for Alfredo, who, as we mentioned in the Cup Series race, had a pretty damn good weekend for himself. First career top five for Leland Honeyman, and Brennan Poole has two top fives in 50 races the last 3 years, both of them at Talladega. The rest of the top 10 is Sheldon Creed, Cesar Baccarella, Matt DiBenedetto, Jeb Burton, and Cole Custer, Mason Massey in 11th, and then Haley Deegan with a 12th place showing.
So, friend of the program. Was a friend of the program, Luke Hillen?
Yeah.
Couple people, a lot of people nationwide upset that Riley Herbst did not help his fellow Ford driver, who's also both sponsored by Monster Energy. What was your thought on that?
Watching it, because I saw the tweet and sent it to the group, and
it was you.
But I knew Luke would be upset.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just because you're sponsored teammates doesn't mean you got to help each other out, you know.
Well, my issue with the whole thing is when you watch the race, the entire race, anytime they showed the back of the lead draft, Haley Deegan was at the very back. Like she, like mentally, I think she was like, I'm going to make up spots by just being back here and other cars will wreck and I'll finish in 25th place. You can't do that for all the race and then at NASCAR double overtime go, come on, boys, give me a push. Like you sort of have to earn the getting a push by pushing people earlier in the race and working out front. She just appeared out of nowhere. And I think Riley Herbst was like, why am I going to help her? She sat back in 30th place. Like if you looked at the pylon, it very, very rarely does it go 31 through 36. But when it did, her name was there.
Yeah.
Sorry, Luke Hillen.
Ryan Sieg didn't win the dash for the cash in 17th. He was two spots ahead of Dinger. We had 34 lead changes among 16 drivers as Austin Hill led the most with 41. But Jesse Love led 28, including the one that counted the most. We are 9 of 26 regular season races through the season. Chandler Smith and Austin Hill lead the way with two wins apiece. Smith also leads the points race. Jesse Love and Sam Mayer both have wins. The eight currently above the cutoff line on points, Cole Custer, Justin Allgaier, Riley Herbst, AJ Allmendinger, Sammy Smith, Parker Klingerman, Sheldon Creed, and Ryan Sieg. Anthony Alfredo is five below the cutoff line, Brandon Jones 19 below, then a wide gap to SVG, who's 30 back, and then Brennan Poole 43 back.
So there you go, super speedway racing. Now we're going to go to Miles the Monster.
Yeah, Dover, baby.
And my most attended track. Although Texas is catching up. I think I've been to I've only been to two cup races, I think, at Texas. But I went to about four or five cup races here at Dover. They're going to race Sunday. It's going to be 2 p.m. Eastern, coverage starting at 1 p.m. on FS1, PRN, and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Distance is 400 miles. It's a one-mile track, so that's 400 laps. Stages of 120, 130, 150. As we said, Corey Heim is going to be in the 43 in place of Eric Jones. AJ Allmendinger is going to be in the number 16 for Colic Racing. Jimmy Johnson in the 84 for Legacy Motor Club. I think you need a membership to get into that one.
The Monster Mile is a one-mile concrete paved oval. It's hosted 105 NASCAR Cup Series races since the inaugural event on July 6, 1969. That was 2 weeks before we landed on the moon.
Allegedly. I think we did. Because I think if we didn't land on the moon, the guy who had to stay in the thingy while Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were dancing around and they got all the thing, he would have ratted them out by now.
Yeah, unless he got paid to be quiet.
Yeah, they stopped running two races here back in 2021. I don't know if that's good or bad. I believe they gave the other date to Nashville. Very sad for the people in Dover. Front row, both the pole position and the other thing, they account for 33 victories in 105 races. That's 31% of the winners, so that's a lot.
Then you got 8 active Dover winners in the race, including 11-time winner Jimmy Johnson. He's just one of 5 drivers to win 10 or more races at a single track. Martin Truex has won here 4 times, including last season. Kyle Busch has 3 wins, with the most recent 2017. Chase Elliott has 2. Those were in 2018 and 2022. Alex Bowman, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, and Brad Keselowski have won one apiece. Not a place to get your first win, though. Only Martin Truex in 2007 and Jody Ridley in 1981 got their first win at Dover. And this one will be a special one for Alex Bowman as he's making his 300th NASCAR Cup Series start, the 102nd driver to reach that plateau. Who you got as your long shot?
I'm very confident in calling a guy who hasn't won a race in 3 years a long shot. I'm going with Brad Keselowski getting it done this week. Despite not being super spectacular here, he did win in 2012 and had 2 runners-up in 2014, but they've been running pretty well recently, so I think he breaks the drought.
All right. I'm going to go with his teammate, Chris Buescher. The RFK boy's been running really well in the last 3 races here. He's got 2 top 10 finishes.
Okay. Who's your winner?
Ooh, man. I am going to go with Ross Chastain. He's got 2 top 5s. In the last 3 races, he's been running pretty well, and you don't really need your spotter when he's quiet all the time.
I'm going to go Martin Truex. The Truexes love Dover. Mayetta, Georgia, or New Jersey is just under 2.5 hours from the racetrack, so that's like being Alex Bowman in Tucson and having Phoenix be your home racetrack. Last 6 races here, he has 1 win, 4 top 5s, and he has the best average finish among all racers in that span, 6.3. So Marty gets it done.
All right. We got the Bet Rivers 200. This will be Saturday with the race at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, coverage 12:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1, PRN, and the Sirius XM NASCAR radio. Distance of 200 miles, which is 200 laps around the 1-mile track. Stages of 45, 45, and 110. 39 cars are entered, so 1 will miss the race. Notable entries, Taylor Gray in the number 19, Ryan Truex in the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing, Corey Heim in the number 26 for Sam Hunt Racing, Daniel Dye in the number 10 for Colleague, Matt DiBenedetto in the number 38 for RSS Racing, and then Carson Kvaal in the number 88 for Junior Motorsports.
Yeah, the 200 seems short.
Yeah.
Like, usually, I picture Xfinity races being like 3/4 of the length of a Cup race and the trucks being half.
But so it should be a quick one. The Dash for Cashers will be Ryan Sieg, Jesse Love, Riley Herbst, and Anthony Alfredo. Sieg has 17 starts in Dover with 3 top 10s and an average finish of 14.4. This will be the Xfinity Series debut at Dover for Jesse Love. Riley Herbst has 6 Xfinity starts with 3 top 10s and an average finish at 12.8. And then Anthony Alfredo has 4 starts with a best finish of 11th. Dover has posted 77 Xfinity Series races with 53 different winners. Kyle Busch has the most with 5. And 3 past Dover winners in the race, Justin Allgaier, 23 starts with 2 wins, 12 top 5s, and 16 top 10s.
Yeah, Cole Custer has 7 starts here, 1 win, 4 top 5s, 6 top 10s. Ryan Truex, 7 series starts, 1 win, 2 top 5s, 4 top 10s. He won here last year. It's been a much kinder track for first-time winners, 14, although Truex's win last year broke a 21-year span since the last time they had a first-time winner, which was Scott Wimmer, 2002. Scott Wimmer, that's a name from way back.
Yeah, that is long. That is a throwback.
So who do you got winning?
I feel like I pick him every week, but he's got the best stats, and sooner or later I'm going to be right. I'm going to go with Justin Allgaier.
Okay, I'm going Ryan Truex. As I said before, the Truexes love Dover. He won here last year. And the JGR number 20 car has 2 wins this year. Eric Almirola 1-1 and John Hunter Nemechek 1-1. So they're going to have their 3rd different winner.
There you go. Going for the Owner's Cup.
We got a special, we got a friend of the program, a friend of the friend of a friend of the program, courted a special paint scheme drop. She picked a Mad Dog Madeline Osborne, pride of formerly Belton, Texas, and now Arlington, Texas. Hometown of Miles Garrett. I went to the same high school as Miles Garrett. I don't think at the same time. But she picked her paint schemes, and we're going to play that recording right now.
Okay, welcome to Madeline Dog Paint Picks. There's a number one by far. No one else can deny this. Bubba Wallace is driving number 23, the U.S. Air Force Toyota. The front of it has a mouth that looks like teeth, and then we looked it up, and it's because it's paying tribute to the World War II Flying Tigers and Vietnam War veterans. So basically, it's just the best car that's going to be out there, and the paint scheme with it is just iconic. So that is number one. Now, number two, which is not a close number two, but it is a number two. Daniel Suarez is driving number 99, and it's red, white, and blue. Red and white stripes, blue numbers. And the only reason I chose this, one, I like the color scheme red, white, and blue because it's our country. But two, Sunday is Military Appreciation Day for baseball, and they're going to be wearing red, white, and blue, and I'm going as a fan that day. So I'm also going to be wearing red, white, and blue, so I just feel like we're kind of connected. Anyway, number one is just way up there, and number two is just a solid choice. That's it. Those are my paint schemes.
Not for ours. We also like the number 23 for Bubba Wallace. That is a sharp paint scheme. I feel like Eric Jones used to always get these military themed ones.
Yeah, there's always the 43. Yeah, Bubba got them when he was in it.
I feel like Bubba stole them from him. But anyhow, yeah, I think that one is die cast worthy. I would think about purchasing that one. And yeah, the Daniel Suarez one, red, white, and blue. Chalky underwear in red, white, and blue. Two things that
never
go
wrong with that one.
Side to side. What else you got?
I like Denny Hamlin's, the Mavis tires.
Okay.
I like the, it looks like it's an outline of like a state or something, but it's got a bunch of tires on the side. I think that one looks pretty cool. It's got a little teal color. Yeah, Mavis tires. So I like that one.
Yeah, I think on a week-by-week basis, Ross Chastain, I think, has my favorites. This week, it's beamoose.org, which they write it on the side, B space A space moose.org. Moose.org is going to take you somewhere besides beamoose.org. Like, I don't know if they've ever heard of the internet. I love the A&W All-American Food Ford. Might need to go to A&W All-American Food and get a root beer and a wiener. Todd Gillen's going to be running that card in the number 38. And then it's not Darlington, but did you see the number 43 paint scheme?
Yeah, I really like that one. Old school.
Yeah, it's going to be run by Corey Heim. It is a Richard Petty scheme with Petty Blue and the red that was always in on his STP cars. But it's Dollar Tree. I don't know if you can get STP for a dollar.
Yeah. Not
but
anymore.
You can get the paint scheme. And then the other one I had, Ricky Stenhouse and the Hungry Jack, number 47. It's got pancakes on the back.
And the best is the syrup cans, like tilted over, pouring the syrup all over the pancakes.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's like an action photo. So in the Xfinity series, we got Dawson Cram in the New Jersey State Police and then Troopers Union Foundation, number 4. JD Motorsports, not to be confused with JR Motorsports, usually pretty reserved in their paint schemes. So I thought this one was pretty sharp. And it's going to remind everybody at the race that the New Jersey State Police is going to hand out about 69,420 tickets for speeding for drivers headed back through New Jersey after the race.
The other one I liked was... number 10, Daniel Dye, the race to stop suicide car. Interesting, go for a good cause, but it also looks pretty sharp, light blue and purple mixed.
Yeah, I like the Ryan Ellis and the number 43 Costa Oil. It's got like an Art Deco gold and black paint scheme. Really like that one. And then this one, big news broke by Big Machine Records. They signed Motley Crue. All you people that love heavy metal, you know who Motley Crue is. Vince Neil.
Is it Tommy Lee?
No, the Pamela Anderson's husband.
Yeah, isn't it Tommy Lee or Tommy?
Yeah, Tommy Lee, yeah. So They signed a deal. They are releasing their first song in 5 years, Dogs of War. And yeah, they're going to be on the side of the Parker Kligerman car. There's a third member who I know his name. And as soon as I Google it, I'm going to be like, I can't believe I forgot what his name was.
Can I tell you a funny story to show how stupid I am?
Yeah.
When I was a youth, my mom always likes to joke how I got Howie Mandel and Nelson Mandela mixed up, but I'd also get Tommy Lee and Tommy Lee Jones confused. And like when I would see Tommy Lee Jones.
By the way, Heather Locklear, too, also. So he was at 2 for 2. Nikki Six was the name I could not remember, and I should have.
So imagine my confusion when I saw Tommy Lee Jones in a movie. I'm like, this guy's dating Pamela Anderson?
Oh, geez. So that is, yeah, Motley Crue. I thought they were all dead, but apparently they are not.
No, they're still alive and kicking. Well, that will do it for our Talladega to Dover episode. We'll be back next week to preview a recap, Dover, and get you ready for the upcoming race. We appreciate you guys for listening. For Thomas, I am Evan. We will see you.
I grew up in Texas where football was my game. Until that racing fever started burning in my brain. I started running mini stocks when I was 13. And won a short track championship when I was just 16. I met a man named Harry Hyde and he built a car for me. Sponsored by Granddaddy Hillen's Drilling Company. Grand Nationals when I was 17. My Talladega finish was the start of my big dream. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. And I'm glad I had Granddaddy on my side. You've given me my wings, now it's up to me to fly. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. They say that Lady Luck has given me the breaks. I must admit she smiled a bit, but it's me that runs the race. Now you can't be a champion due to luck or circumstance. I'll do the best I can for those who've given me